إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره، نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، فإن كل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Today, which is Tuesday, the 20th of Rabi' al-Thani for the year 1420 after the migration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is equivalent to the 3rd of August for the year 1999. This class constitutes the 6th class in the album number 5. Again, this is the 6th class for the 5th album for the explanation of Kitab Bulugh al-Maram, the explanation of the book, the attainment of the objective, by Al-Hafiz Ibn Hajar Al-Asqalani. May Allah shower him with his mercy. And today, inshallah, we're going to have a new chapter under the book of marriage. This is chapter number 8, page number 382. And we'll be dealing, inshallah, today, starting in hadith number 928. And before I forget, I would like to remind my brothers and sisters that Brother Ghassan is not going to have a class tomorrow due to the Majlis al-Shura meeting every Wednesday, the first Wednesday of every month. So please, those who are present today, who usually attend Ghassan's class, make a note that there is no class tomorrow and inform other students that usually come to his class. Again, there is no class tomorrow, Abu Bakr. There is no class tomorrow for Brother Ghassan, and be aware so you may use the time, inshallah, to go over the notes that you got from his classes. Let's get back to our class, and today we're talking about Al-Raj'ah. And Al-Raj'ah, from Al-Rujur, to come back or to return. And Islamically speaking or religiously speaking, for the husband to take the divorce, his divorced wife, back to him without a new contract. Raj'ah, if a man divorced his wife once or twice, he still has the right to take her back. during her idda without a new contract. So this is what we're talking about today. Because after the third divorce, a man could not take his wife back. And a man could not also take his wife back after the first or the second divorce if the idda expired. So this chapter concerning taking back a wife after divorce, which is not final. And hadith number 928 عن عمران ابن حسين رضي الله تعالى عنهما أنه سئل عن الرجل يطلق ثم يراجع ولا يشهد فقال أشهد على طلاقها وعلى رجعتها رواه أبو داود هكذا موقوفا وسنده صحيح وأخرج البيهقي بلفظ إن عمران بن حسين رضي الله تعالى عنهما سئل عمن راجع امرأته ولم يشهد وقال في غير سنة فليشهد الآن وزاد الطبراني في رواية واستغفر الله ذا حديث إن شاء الله is authentic that Imran ibn Husayn, may Allah be pleased with him, one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, been questioned concerning a man who divorced his wife and he takes her back during her iddah and he did not put witnesses for this. So the fatwa and the answer of Imran, may Allah be pleased with him, that you have to set witnesses when you divorce her, and you have to set witnesses when you take her back. Okay? It is from the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that when a man divorces his wife, that he set witnesses, regardless this witness are present when he pronounced the divorce, or that after he pronounced the divorce, he will inform witnesses that he did such divorce. The same thing applies when a person take his wife back. He should do this with witnesses present, or when he take her back, that he will go and inform to witnesses. And this also had came in the Quran. Alaykum as-salam. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said for us to set two witnesses. And this is for al-istihbab, that means is optional or preferably, is not a must. Most of the scholars understood it to be, is recommended, but is not must. And from this hadith, we understand for a man to take his wife back during her waiting period after the first or the second divorce, alaykum as-salam, there is no need for the approval of the wife. There is no need for the approval of the wife. If a man divorces his wife the first time or the second time, and a week later or a month later, he decides to take her back. And let's say the wife says, no, I don't want to get back to you. She has no choice about it, okay? Because she's still under his possession, if I can use this term. that she has no right to refuse, and her refusal is not going to change anything from this condition. So taking the wife back during the time of Iddah is the right of the husband only, and is limited also. Okay, the same way the divorce is limited with 3 times, that a man can take his wife 1 time, 2 times, and after this is going to be expired by the 3rd pronouncing. If he pronounced her divorce the 3rd time, he could not take her back. Doesn't matter if she's still in Iddah or not in Iddah. The man can take his wife back regardless if she's in menses or she's clean, doesn't matter, as long as she's still in her Iddah waiting period. And from this we see how the Islam so concerned about establishing and maintaining the family relationship, that is not because a man divorced his wife this was the end of it, that still there is a chance the man can take his wife back 1 time, 2 times, okay, and he could not take her back after the 3rd time. The second hadith, hadith which is number 929, وعن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما أنه لما طلق امرأته قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لعمر مره فليراجعها, متفق عليه. Hadith number 929, which reported from ابن عمر son of عمر, that when he divorced his wife, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Umar, order him, command him to take his wife back. Why? Because he divorced her while she have her menses. And divorcing the woman while she have her menses is against the Sharia, is not according to the Sunnah. So this talaq or this divorce could not be acceptable, and for the man he has no choice except to take her back, even if he don't want. Now if he don't want to remain with her as a husband, he have to wait until her period finish, and when she's clean, now he will divorce her. We go to the next chapter, which chapter number 9, and this in page number 383. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And this chapter has 3 sections together. One is about al-ila and al-zihar and al-kaffara. The first one, which is about al-ila, that for a man to swear by Allah or by one of Allah's attributes, to make here, akhi, if you're looking for a book, for a man to make a vow, swear that he's not going to have intercourse with his wife for a period which is maximum 4 months. This is called ila. The ila means to swear. This in general term. Okay, ila. But Islamically, we're talking about a person swearing by Allah not to have a physical contact with his wife. That means he's going to be remaining in the same house, they still husband and wife, but he's not going to have a relationship with her for maximum period, which is 4 months. Now, zihar for a man to say that his wife became to him like his mother.
Okay.
And Zahr, which means back. Okay. Zihar comes from Zahr, which is the back of the person. For a man to say to his wife, Anti alayya ka zahri ummi, you to me like my mother back. That mean you to me are forbidden the same way that my mother is forbidden for me. If I can have intercourse with my wife, that mean I can have intercourse with you. So a man saying to his wife, now you to me like my mother. That's forbidden for me to have relationship with you. Now the third one, which is the kafara, okay, to cover up or to make up or expiation, how a person going to undo it, this problem that he made by making ila, swearing not to have relationship with his wife for 4 months, or for a man saying to his wife, you to me like the back of my mother, that mean no intercourse with you, period, you are not lawful for me. So this chapter 9 talks about these three conditions, about the ila and the zihar, and how to undo it if you happen to do one of this. First hadith, we leave it alone due to the defect, but we can talk about it a little bit because the hadith is weak if we attribute it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but is acceptable not to be marfu', okay, not to be attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So here Aisha says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam min nisa'ihi wa harrama فجعل الحلال حراما وجعل لليمين كفارة. That the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam swore that he would stay away from his wives for a period, and had made something unlawful for himself, i.e. something not in itself unlawful, then he made it lawful, and he made atonement for breaking an oath. The explanation about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had make ila, some they said about eating certain food which was the honey, and one they said about that he used to have a mate right hand with this, that he used to go to her, and there is a different narration concerning this. But regardless, whatever it is, the Prophet ﷺ used to eat this food which is like honey, and when he used to go to the other wives, they plotted against the Prophet ﷺ that when he come to their house, they say, oh, he smell like such and such, he ate such a kind of food, which is something that smell of it is bad. And the Prophet ﷺ said, no, I didn't do all what I ate was honey. They ate it in the house of Zainab. And this way that they make him feel bad that he been there with the other wife. You know how sometimes some of the co-wives, they do things against each other. So to such a degree that finally the Prophet ﷺ said, okay, finally I'm not going to eat this kind of food again, and made it lawful for himself. Or they kept bugging him about his right hand with this, so now the Prophet ﷺ, he's going to stay away from here. And we have a surah in the Quran, Surah Al-Tahrim, which talks about this, okay? But anyway, so Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made expiation for this swearing, and how he made correction for it. But this ilah that this chapter is talking about, it is not this kind of ilah. The ilah that the chapter is talking about is which comes in hadith number 931 عن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال إذا مضت أربعة أشهر وقف المولي حتى يطلق ولا يقع عليه الطلاق حتى يطلق أخرجه البخاري. The hadith is authentic, is reported by ابن عمر may Allah be pleased with him, says that when a period of 4 months elapsed, the one who swears to stay away from his wife must be made to return to her or divorce her, and the divorce is not valid till he, means the husband, will pronounce the divorce. So this what we talking about, the ilah for a man to swear not to have relationship with his wife. If a man did this due to whatever reason, as a punishment or chastising his wife through this kind of means, not to have intercourse with her, Islam allow him maximum period 4 months. If the 4 months elapsed, finished, expired, now this man, he have to make his mind. He could not leave his wife like this, although they live in the same house, but he don't have a physical relationship with her. So the maximum period Islam allowing him is 4 months. After 4 months elapsed, the man, he have to have a normal relationship with his wife, include physical relationship, or otherwise he, if he don't want live with her, he divorce her. He could not keep her like this, okay? And a person who's in authority in the community, or the Khalifa, the Imam, the whatever name you give him, whosoever in authority, he can interfere in this issue, and he have to stop him and command him and imposing him that he have to have a regular relationship with his wife, or that he have to divorce her, because she's not going to be automatically divorced by after 4 months. He have to pronounce this divorce. So from this we understand that Islam doesn't permit a man to do it more than 4 months, and this is the maximum period. And in case that a man, he did not go back in a regular physical relationship with his wife, that the person in authority have to stop him, to make him to correct this action or to divorce. Also from this hadith we see that Islam is concerned about women to be not to be persecuted or punished by men beyond the limits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had permitted. And also we understand from this hadith that physical relationship can be used, or denying the bed can be used as a means of correction for the woman behavior, her ill conduct. So this also can be a means of correction to her behavior, and this not to be exceed the amount of 4 months. Hadith number 932 عن سليمان ابن يسار قال أدركت بضعة عشر رجلا من أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كلهم يوقفون المولي. The hadith is authentic, inshallah, narrated by Sulaiman ibn Yasar, which he say that I was alive until I was witness and to get to meet more than 10 of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All of them made the one who made Ila swears not to have a physical relation with his wife, to return to her or to divorce her. So this is a common understanding about the Sahaba, and Sulaiman related about his physical experience himself that he met more than 10 and less than 20 from the Sahaba, that they have the same kind of understanding that a man could not exceed 4 months, and after 4 months that he have to go in a regular physical relationship with his wife, or he will let her go by divorcing her. Authentic, inshallah. And also from this hadith that we understand that the ruler or the guardian or the imam or whosoever in possession of authority, he has no authority over the husband before the 4 months. That means he could not, if a woman as example comes and complained to me and say that my husband been for the last 2-3 months he doesn't sleep with me, okay, I have no authority to go to command the man to divorce her or have a physical relationship, okay, but after 4 months. So before 4 months nobody has the right to interfere, only to interfere as to try to make peace between them and try to work, but alaikum salam wa rahmatullah, but not to have the order over the person or have authority over him, okay. So he, like you say, he's the boss of this situation. He have more control over this situation during the 4 months. Before 4 months, you could not impose in him separation or divorce or anything like this. The hadith number 933, Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, reported, كان الإله في الجاهلية السنة والسنتين فوقت الله 4 أشهر فإن كان أقل من 4 أشهر فليس بإله. That Ibn Abbas is telling us that the إله in the time of جاهلية, before the coming of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم with Islam, it used to be a year and 2 years, okay. So when Islam came, he modified this situation and made it maximum period is 4 months, okay. And whatever before 4 months, it could not be considered or count as ila, okay. And the hadith also, inshallah, is authentic. And we understand that this tawqeet or this period is been made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay. This is been made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فوقت الله 4 أشهر, he says, so Allah has appointed a period of 4 months for it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put a limit, maximum for it. And also we see that from this hadith that Islam didn't remove or polish everything used to be in the Jahiliyyah, but certain things used to be too bad or bad, harmful, is not correct. Islam polished it completely, like adultery and fornication, and be proud with your ancestors and tribalism and things like this, Islam came and removed it completely. And it used to be other things good, like hospitality for your guest and assistance for people. Islam promoted these things. And there is other things, Islam came to modify it. Okay, so Islam didn't come to remove everything completely that was before Islam. And one of the things that Islam came to modify it is what is the ilah, which used to be in the time of Jahiliyyah up to 2 years. So Islam came and make it for what? Maximum period to be 4 months. And as I said, that ilah, which a man to swear not to have physical contact with his wife for 4 months, a means of try to correct certain behavior in the family to be like a step before a divorce. Okay, in the state the family goes, everybody go away, and children be in the street and things like this. So there is other courses, or there is other steps can be made. It may help the woman to get back to her senses and to try to correct her behavior for whatever she's doing, start cleaning up the bathroom, or try to stop putting too much salt in her food, or try understand to stop meeting her husband with all this clothes smell like onions. Whatever her problem, that he's not happy with it, she may try to do some correction about it. He's been talking to her about it many times. Don't stay in the phone for hours. I keep calling. We don't have a call waiting. I have emergency. I won't talk to you about it. Keep talking to her about it, or stop the kids watching the devil box, the TV, and she doesn't listen. So he get tired. So instead, you understand, smacking her and busting her head open, or tell her you divorce, go away, and all these things. There is many other steps a person can take it, and one of them can be separating her in the bed. And if it's not enough, it can be even going to ilah, which is a person will swear that he's not having a physical relationship with her for a period of 4 months. What's going to happen if a man, out of weakness or out of correction from his wife, as example, 2 or 3 months and things get back again in order, okay? Now he come, he sees the bathroom in order, there's no Pampers here and no toilet tissue, 500 feet, kids been pulling the roll tissue all over, all the way to the living room, and all kind of things that it happened in everybody's house period, okay, basically, okay? So in 2 months he found things got to change. What he can do? Now he have to wait for the 4 months? No, he don't. But he have to do what? Now he have to make up for this swearing. Because, because he had swear by Allah. And it is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when you swear on something and you found a better alternative, that you make kafara, expiation, for your swearing by Allah. And you go, as example, you swear, I say, I swear by Allah, you was angry, I swear by Allah, I'm not going to go talk to Jabir anymore, okay? He promised me many times he's going to bring this CD or this disc or floppy or whatever it is, I don't want to deal with this man. But later on, you call out and say, no, it's my Muslim brother, everybody have problems, if brother did this, that, I have to talk to him. So now, because I swear, okay, now I said, I have to go make expiation for this swearing, okay, and go to what is better, which talking to your Muslim brother, okay? And this you're going to have to feed 10 poor people, or dressing them, clothing them. If you don't have the means, to do this, so now you're going to have to fast 3 days, okay? Or freeing a slave. So if you don't have this means, now you're going to have to fast 3 days, and this will be forgiven for what you swear, okay? So I was not going to say, because the man said, okay, 4 months, now 4 months comes. It can be that she corrected her behavior, or now he could not wait for 4 months, okay? Now he will go and make up for this swearing and go back to regular relationship with his wife. Okay, and we said how you're going to make expiation for this. Now we're going to another subject which related to zihar, and we said zihar, that a person will say that my wife is not my wife anymore, she's me to me like my mother. And since your mother, you could not sleep with your mother, have physical contact with your mother, that means you say my wife is to me like my mother. Now exactly, by saying this, you did not make your wife as your mother, because she never could not be your mother, okay? But what you're saying is a false statement, and Islam teaching us that we have to watch for our tongue. So now you have to go make up, okay, for this statement, to make something haram that Allah made it halal for you. You have to make some kind of correction for this statement and to have your wife back to you and live a regular normal relationship. This comes in hadith number 934 وعنه, that means from Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, أن رجلا ظاهر من امرأته, that a man made zihar from his wife. ثم وقع عليها, but after he made this statement, he have intercourse with her. فأتى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, after this he went to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. فقال, he said, إني وقعت عليها, I had intercourse with my wife. قبل أن أكفر, before I make the expiation, the correction, the ransom, or whatever you want to call it. قال فلا تقربها, the Prophet ﷺ said, don't do this again, don't have intercourse with her, حتى تفعل ما أمرك الله به, until you do what Allah had commanded you. That mean to make the kafara, which is the third section of this chapter, until you make the what? The kafara. This hadith is Hassan. This hadith is Hassan. This man, which he said to his wife, okay, أنت علي كظهر أمي, you, my wife, to me as your husband, you became to me like the back of my mother. That means you are to me like my mother. That means I could not be with you anymore physically. But after this, the man, he could not hold to this statement, and he have intercourse with her, and he was not supposed to do this. He was not supposed to do this. He was supposed to do the freeing the slave first, making the expiation, the correction for this statement. So for him being having intercourse with her does not spoil or get him out of this condition. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him that you still with the same condition and having intercourse with your wife does not get you out of it. Don't repeat it again and go make the correction first. Okay? So if a man said to his wife, "Anti alayya ka dhahri ummi," he's not supposed to have intercourse with her until he makes a correction. And if by mistake that he have intercourse with her, he still have to make the correction and not for him to repeat it before he do the correction. And this will be explained what is the correction or the expiation or what he have to pay to make this statement, to make up for this statement he made it. The explanation comes in the next hadith, which hadith number 935 in page number 385. وعن سلمة ابن صخر رضي الله تعالى عنه قال دخل رمضان فخفت أن أصيب امرأتي فظاهرت منها فانكشف لي شيء منها ليلة فوقعت عليها فقال لي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حرر رقبة فقلت ما أملك إلا رقبتي قال فصم شهرين متتابعين قلت هل أصبت الذي أصبت إلا من الصيام قال أطعم عرقا من تمر 60 مسكينا حديث. We see this little story here that this Sahabi, may Allah be pleased with him and all the companions, Salama ibn Sakhr, when the month of Ramadan approached and he felt like weakness of himself and he was scared that he's not going to know how to maintain Ramadan. Okay? And being married, and he be scared that he may spoil his fasting. Allah knows best. Maybe this was before, because before also in the beginning of Islam, intercourse with the wife during Ramadan was prohibited if a person want to sleep. As example, if Maghrib in, so the person break his fast, have the right to have intercourse with his wife. But if he slept and he woke up, he could not have intercourse with his wife. Okay? Later on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove and release the companions from this hardship. Okay? And he permitted them that after sunset, regardless if the person slept or not slept, that he has the right to have intercourse with his wife until Fajr. Okay? So as example, if somebody ate after Maghrib and the meal was little bit heavy, which I don't know if the Sahaba have a heavy meal, they didn't hear about this stuff, okay? But maybe out of a tiredness, he lean against the wall and little bit now he fall in the ground, he falls asleep. 2-3 hours he woke up, maybe it was about 11-12 o'clock at night. This it. He could not have intercourse with his wife. He have to wait until the next day. But anyway, Salama ibn Sakhr, when Ramadan approach, now he want to make sure that he doesn't break the limits of Allah by having intercourse with his wife during the day or during the night, whatever. So what he did, he said to his wife, "You to me like my mother." Okay? أنت علي كظهر أمي. So he forbade his wife for himself. But one night is by accident that his wife was doing something and part of her body exposed to him, which was like temptation to him, and after this he could not control himself, so he have intercourse with his wife. So now he went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He doesn't know what is going to happen. Okay, so Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, and this is the point that we're trying to get to, how to make correction to the statement. He said to him, harrir raqaba, free a neck. And this is the term they used, free a neck. Harrir raqaba means free slave. Okay, the neck is a expression that mean, because there is no human being without the neck, and the neck, you understand, is a way to say free a person. Okay, so he tell him free a neck. He say, I have no neck except my neck. Okay, he said to him, free a slave. Say, if we're talking about a free a slave, I don't have anything, I'm a poor man. What kind of a neck we're talking about? The only neck I own is my neck. I am the only, okay, I don't have to free a slave. Okay, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, this is the next step to correct for zihar. If you could not free a, free a slave, do what? Fast 2 months continuously. Okay, that means you fast every day, you breakfast and Maghrib, you stop eating and Fajr, okay? But that means it's going to be 60 days. One after, not you understand, you, today you fast a week, next month you fast another week, next month you fast Monday or Tuesday. No. Continuously, 2 months. Say, O Prophet of Allah, what happened to me, it came as a result of fasting. I would try to protect myself, not to break the limits of Allah, as a matter of being fasting. So what happened to me, it came as a result of fasting. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this was the second way, the second step, how to make correction. He said to him, so take idh, take this bunch, you know the palm trees, it has this thing like, it has this thing like a whole bunch of what you call this thing? Okay, you know, like a broomstick. So the stick, okay, and after this come all these branches which carry the dates. So this is the whole thing. The Prophet told them to take one and feed 60 poor people out of it. Okay? So this was the third. So a person, we see from this hadith that the necessity of making expiation or correction to the statement of zihar before the man having intercourse with his wife, that the expiation for zihar, it have to come in order. You did not go feed 60 poor people. No, first you have to start with freeing a slave. If you could not, now we say to you, go and fast 2 months continuously. Now if you could not, for physical or medical reason, whatever, now we say what? Now go and feed 60 poor people. Okay? And from this hadith also, we see how Islam concerned about freeing the slaves, that making different ways